while 1 in 5 children may be left without enough food for a meal. But it doesn't have to be this way. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks helps to get food to families in need. Visit feedingamerica.org to learn how you can help. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hello, my name is Alex Cumming, and you are more than welcome to this, the Folk and Acoustic Show here on WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. A fantastic show today. I'm talking to Amy Thatcher, but first, the new single from the Big Little Lions. It's Extraordinary.
More than happy enough, and now it's time to make this happen. Can feel it in my blood. I'm wasting my time, I'm wasting my time. I'm nervous in these shoes, taking one more step at a time. But what have I gotta prove? I'm nearly there, I got a big hill to die on. Rain on the rain, a storm, I'm all there.
That was the fantastic Big Little Lions. What a fantastic duo they are. I managed to catch them and meet them, actually, for the first time, at least digitally, at the NERFA conference, the Northeast Folk... The Northeast... NERFA, hang on, I'll spell it. N-E-R, Northeast Regional Folk Alliance Conference, which happened last month, and it was absolutely fantastic. And they are an incredible duo. That sound you hear... on there is basically what you hear live. They've got such an amazing setup for the two of them to perform, and it's brilliant. So I highly recommend you check out Big Little Lions, all the way from British Columbia. Ooh, I was about to say exotic. It's probably the opposite of exotic at this time of year, but very exciting nonetheless. So yeah, welcome to the Folk and Acoustic Show. I'm very excited to have you here. The day after Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. A day to celebrate friends and family here in the States. Now we've got a lovely show. We have the amazing Amy Thatcher, an accordion player from the UK, chatting to me today. And by today, I mean last week, but I'm playing you the interview right now, in a minute anyway. And we're talking about her brand new release, in sort of recognition of World Prematurity Day, and you'll hear more about that story a bit later. But right now we're going to step on with some traditional music, this time from the fantastic Alex Sturbaum, an amazing traditional singer, songwriter, and multi-instrumentalist coming out of Olympia, Washington. And this year, back in May, they released this fantastic album, Atlantic Dreams, with traditional music from Newfoundland. And from that, it's a set of tunes, Stan Rogers, Calvin Payne's Step Dance, and Hound's Tune.
We'll be right back. granted his wondrous poor, and it's I who intend my fortune to mend. And I'll build me a house down on the moors, my brave boys. And I'll build me a house down on the moors. And my father, he keeps fat oxen and sheep, and a neat little nag on the downs. And in the middle of the night, when the moon does shine bright, oh, there's a wonder of jobs to be done, my brave boys. Oh, there's a wonder of jobs to be done. It's a roam around on some other man's ground. Take a fat ewe from his pack, and with the aid of my knife, I will shorten its life. Carry it home on my back, my brave boys. Yes, I'll carry it home on my back. And my children shall pull skin from the wall, and I'll carve him up to the bone. And when the constable do come, I'll stand there with my gun. I swear all I have is my own, my brave boys. Yes, I swear all I have.
That was the incredible sounds there of Henry Parker from their brand new album, Lammas Fair. That was a brilliant take on the traditional song, The Brisk Lad. Yeah, go and check out that album. As always with the show, you can catch up with the show on WMFO.org and at alexcummingmusic.com/folkacousticshow. And you'll be able to catch up on the playlists on both those sites as well. And on my site, you'll be able to catch the links to how to support these amazing artists and grab and listen to more of their music. All right, well, we're going to have the interview with Amy coming right up. But first, I'm going to play you this from Edinburgh-born and Boston-based harpist Maeve Gilchrist. Absolutely phenomenal player. And has been doing a lot with Brian O'Donovan from the Public Radio, from Celtic Sojourn, and is runs a festival up in Rockport, as well as creating some incredible music. In October last year, she released an amazing album called The Harp Weaver. And from it, this is one of the most catchy titles to a single track I've ever heard. Are you ready? Chris Stout's compliments to the Bon Accord Alehouse. Catchy, right? But yeah, this is where folk music and sort of orchestral soundtrack arrangements kind of cross over on this track, particularly, and this and all of Maeve's work. It's just fantastic. So yeah, enjoy this track from The Harp Weaver. Thank you. holy cannoli, wasn't that absolutely fantastic? The amazing Maeve Gilchrist there with Chris Stout's compliments to the Bon Accord Ale House from The Harp Weaver, which was released last year. Absolutely amazing stuff. Last week I managed to catch up with the incredible Amy Thatcher, an accordionist and multi-instrumentalist from the northeast of England. Played with many, many bands over the years and right now as well, but has been doing this amazing solo project, has released this EP called Let What's In Out, documenting her journey from having premature twins. And you'll hear the story of that in the interview. But first, let's hear the wonderful Amy Thatcher in action.
Wow.
Hello, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Alex. Good to be here.
You've got a brand new project out, Let What's In Out, and it is an incredible EP.
And it is, I think, unlike your first release, Solo, which is, you know, a bunch of really gorgeous tunes you've written, this one really has a personal story and kind of a theme, and is really emotional. Do you want to tell us a bit about sort of what took you into this project in the first place?
Yeah, so after releasing my solo album 2019, shortly after that I was pregnant again with twins, and later on in 2019 I gave birth to them prematurely, 11 weeks prematurely.
Wow.
Not only that, I was in the wrong country at the time.
Holy, I was on cannoli.
Tour. I was, oh, on tour in Berlin. So they were born in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
Bit of a shock, yeah. And so I spent 2.5 months over there.
Wow.
So that was my, yeah, I had a, yeah, quite an experience there. So that's partly one kind of, I needed to sort of kind of put that down on paper in a way, that experience. But of course, they were born in October 2019. So most of last year, I just spent raising small twins with a three-year-old as well.
Yeah.
So I don't really remember much about last year. It was kind of one of those really intense, stressful times. And the title, Let What's In Out, it's partly to do with finding, like, discovering your path again after that hiatus during maternity leave, where you don't have the time, you haven't got the energy. I didn't really kind of play at all. Suddenly you're gone from being, you know, achieving things and always having something ahead that you can see what's happening, to having sort of nothing, really. It really takes a back seat, and you feel like you know your identity is sort of gone a bit.
Well, and that especially coupled with, for you, with the pandemic as well, that timing, like,
yeah, I suppose that kind of only exacerbates that situation.
Yeah,
there. So when the twins got to, you know, sort of like 12, 13 months old, you know, that kind of age where they don't really need you in the same way they did before. The demands on you physically and are kind of lessened. You sort of go, okay, so what's ahead? And I realised there was nothing. And I think it really got me down, actually. I was, I think I was really, really struggling with that. You know, losing your identity for that long. And then not really having the time to think about why you're feeling like that as well.
Yeah.
Just hits you one day, why do I feel like this?
Well, and from parenting anyway, you've got so much sleep deprivation. Like,
yeah,
it's very hard to make any sense of anything in your brain while you're just not sleeping.
That's it, yeah. You can't reflect on much, you know. So it's only kind of after the fact you kind of realise that, blimey, this is really taking its toll, isn't it? Just little by little every day. But, you know, as a parent, you don't blame them. You can't do that, you know.
Yeah.
And it's also your responsibility. You don't give up.
Yeah.
Because you can't. So you're just constantly kind of being pulled along by something, you know, something's driving you. I think it's sort of around March time. The sun comes out over here in Newcastle sometimes, around March time. And I sort of, it was sort of this epiphany of realising that I just needed to get back to writing some stuff and just sit down and do it. And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll make an EP. That's like it was a smaller amount of work to which I knew it was probably achievable writing that amount of music.
Yeah.
It's like a small chunk of stuff. And I knew that I wanted to write something to mark that occasion, to mark that experience that I had in Berlin as well, that really emotional time. So I started with that. I thought, well, you know, if you're ever struggling, just go back to where it all started. I just picked up my accordion and just started playing this little tune that I used to hum to the kids while I was standing over their incubators. Because while you're there in the ward, and you can't really pick them up a lot.
Yeah.
But they do say, you know, you try and talk to them and sing to them, and your voice is the reassuring kind of part of their day. So kind of just sing this little tune to them. So I put it on the accordion, sort of harmonised it, and I thought, well, that's a nice... It was just a nice little tune. I didn't want to repeat it. Once I played it, I felt like that was it. I was like, okay, yeah. So I'm going to need a little bit more than that. So I started with this wonky riff that I played on the piano, this little rhythm. This sort of had a siren-like quality to it. And that sort of represented the emergency, the busyness, the kind of background chaos of what happens, you know, before the babies are born, and they're kind of like, oh no, what, you know, what's happening, and that upset to your routine and things, and that stress, that anxiety. And a sort of a minute into the track, that it starts to shrink away, and then the accordion piece, when it starts, represents that arrival of the babies, and your focus is completely drawn to that, and it's warm, it's soft, it's gentle, it's innocent. The babies arrive, and then gradually you hear that chaos fade away, and then it ends with I just hum the tune at the end, so it just finishes on just voice, as if everything's gone, the ward, the nurses, the doctors have all gone, and you're just at home again finally, and you, that experience you've had is sort of over. You're back to being a normal parent, so you're just sending your kids to sleep.
I'm just interested about how you managed to deal with that in the moment, and what advice you would give to people in sort of similar situations. Because I mean, this is part of what Prematurity Day is about. It's sadly not as unusual as people think it is. And having sort of honest conversations about this is like really important to be able to help other mothers and families really come to terms with these situations. How did you find that?
You really, all the emotions you feel are just amplified in that time. I mean, having a friend to go with me was really crucial on the day itself. Laura Beth, who plays in the She, came along with me, and she really was like my voice. I couldn't speak, you know. It was like,
yeah,
it was the, you know, ring insurance companies, ring my husband to let him know what was happening and things like that. So that was important, having some company around. You have to find that positive. Like you say, you can't be too down about it. Your babies are about to arrive. You know, it's like, this is a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
And then just kind of, I suppose it's that sense of adventure. It did feel like an adventure, and there was something exciting about it. Even as I was being transported in the ambulance, I thought, I think my son will be, think this is really cool when I tell him that I was knee-nawed over to him. I didn't want to, you know, I was kind of like that tentative thought in the back of your mind, this shouldn't be exciting, but maybe I should think, you know, my three-year-old's going to love this.
Yeah.
And I tell it. If you could see this right now, like, mommy's in that ambulance, like, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that, they get you through.
Seems like you really managed to sort of capture those little moments of joy and hold on to them. And amazing that you had your friends around you as well, because that makes a big difference, I'm sure.
Really important.
And how did that work with your husband? Obviously he was far away in a foreign land.
How did you manage
to cope with that?
Luckily his parents were over at the house when he got the call that I'd been taken into hospital and he might want to look at flights. So he could, you know, just got a flight just for him to come over. And you know, they'd given me steroid injections to delay the contractions so that it would give the baby some time for their lungs to mature.
Mm.
So, that, you know, they'd given them some steroids rather, and I'd been given some kind of muscle relaxants or something like that, so that we could give it as long as possible for the for those steroids to work on their lungs. So he had time to get there.
Oh, that's that is so really nice. So
once he arrived, and then there was the day that the other members of the She, which was the band I was touring with, went home. It was kind of one of those like, okay, this I would have been going home right now, but you know, it suddenly became like, okay, you focused on the family unit. It was me, my husband, and the soon-to-be babies arriving.
Yeah,
it's interesting you say about the tour being over as one of those moments of, oh no, it is like that, you know, just your life just derailed. The things you're expecting to do that week aren't happening anymore. Yeah. You kind of feel a little bit responsible for it.
Yeah, that's it. You see, you take in those situations, you can really take those personally.
Yeah.
I've had times where I've had to pull out of tours because of health, and you take way more on than really anyone else in the band is thinking.
Yeah. They're going, no, fine, don't worry about it. Like, oh, you say that, but it's,
yeah.
It means so much to me. I don't want to, I know you're trying to be reassuring, but yeah, it means a lot to me to be doing this music, which is why I was doing it, you know? So yeah, it's, you have to kind of tear yourself away, but it's hard to derail yourself, you know? At some points during that first day, I was like, I wonder if I'll be doing that gig tonight. Or just let me fly home before the babies are born. It's like, what a silly thing to think now, but
yeah.
At the time, it's just like, oh, I wonder, you know, it's a kind of a denial, I suppose. You just have to go through that stage.
Yeah. But you now you have an incredibly happy, healthy, very loud family, which is exciting.
That's it. We're really lucky. The twins were born, you know, albeit very small, but really very healthy.
Yeah.
And it's just something really lovely about once they're born and you just see the doctors and nurses around you just doing their job like they normally do every day, and you go, that's something really reassuring about that. They're just like, you just look at them and they're not worried. So you're not worried.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just any other day, you realise it's actually quite common. So, you know, you can take some reassurance from that this is what they do. You know, this is their speciality. They deal in cases like this. So you immediately think, oh, phew, you know.
It's such a worthy, emotional, amazing project. And it really takes something to be able to take personal experience and be able to put that out into the world in a positive, emotional, and in a kind of a productive way. So I just massive congratulations on it. It's a fantastic piece of work. Well, I think it seems completely apt as we talked about it to look at you now. So we'll finish up the interview with that. Thank you so much for joining me, Amy, and we'll speak again soon, hopefully.
Yes, right. Hopefully see you.
Yes. Take care.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Imagine being forced to live outside with only a thin coat to protect you from the bitter cold. Desperate, you call out to your family, but they ignore you. All alone, you shiver and shake as frostbite sets in, and you slowly freeze to death. When it's cold, bring your cat or dog inside. Make sure other outside animals have adequate food, water, and shelter, and report neglect immediately. For more information, visit PETA.org or call 757-622-PETA.
As I went out one evening, biodiverse discontent, I bumped straight into old Tom Paine. As running down the road he went, he said, I can't stop right now, child, King George is after me. He'd have a rope around my throat and hang me on a liberty tree. And I will dance to Tom Paine's bones, dance to Tom Paine's bones. I preached a revolution. Let me say in my defense that all I did wherever I went was to talk a lot of common sense. Dance to Tom Paine's bones, dance to Tom Paine's bones. Now dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones, dance to Tom Paine's bones. Now dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. It said, this is the age of reason. These are the rights of man. Kick off religion and monarchy. It was written in Tom Paine's plan. And I will dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Now dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. Dance to Tom Paine's bones. I'll dance in the oldest boots I own to the rhythm of Tom Paine's bones.
The fantastic band The She there with Tom Paine's Bones from the album A Different Season. That was the band that Amy was on tour on when she gave birth to her twins. So, yeah, I thought it would be relevant to play that fantastic song there. All right, approaching the end of the show, but we do have a couple more tracks left for you. And this next one is from a band, a fantastic duo called Eloise and Company, which is Becky Tracy and Rachel Bell. Absolutely fantastic duo. And this is from their album, their debut album, More Please. I believe there is another one on the way, so keep your eyes and ears open for that. This is a great song by Noah Van Nornstrand and Kaylin Wright. This is a great version of their song, Lady Night. Wasn't that utterly beautiful? The fantastic Eloise and Company there. And they will be part of a concert that I'm helping run. An online concert on the 5th of December, which is to raise money for the Greater Boston Food Bank, who do incredible work to help save food insecurity from people's homes across eastern Massachusetts. And you can it's going to be at 2 p.m. live streamed online. And you can find out more information by heading to alexcummingmusic.com/folk concert. A well worthy cause and an amazing lineup, and I'll tell you more about that concert next week for sure. But that is pretty much my time here. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you so much to Amy Thatcher for being a marvelous guest. Next week will be my last show for a little bit, as I'm going to have a slightly crazy schedule during December, as I am part of the theatre production The Christmas Revels happening down in Cambridge this year. So my days are rather taken up with rehearsals and then the full 3-week run. So we'll see how it goes. But I'll definitely slip in a lovely holiday-themed show at some point along that. And I'll give you more details about all of my time off and my time on next week as well. So I thought I would finish up this show with an absolutely incredible album. A while ago, a group got together called Our Native Daughters, an amazing collaboration between Rhiannon Giddens, Amethyst Kia, Lila McCalla, and Alison Russell. And it is just an incredible project. And I'm going to play the first track from that to finish up the show today. Thank you so much for joining me. And don't forget to head to alexcummingmusic.com/folkacousticshow or wmfo.org and check out the Listen Back Again feature there. The podcast will be posted up on my website, and the playlist with the links to all the artists as well today will be there. Until next time, lovely people, enjoy this. This is Black Myself by Our Native Daughters, the opening track to the album Songs of Our Native Daughters. See you next week. Bye. This is Alex Cumming, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio.